I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall come my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. To the mountains. Why do we read that we should go to the mountains? That will take some explaining. After the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 121 is very likely the most popular song sung in the Church of the Covenanters. Indeed, by its frequency of use, it may be the most popular. For generations, it has been known as the Traveler's Psalm, and generations of RPs have sung it as they started on their journeys. And this has been especially the practice when the journey's destination was some religious assembly, synod, presbytery, conference, whatever, or even just the family going to church. The singing of this psalm at the beginning of such journeys is a fitting use. It was also used as a song of the road by the ancient Israelites. And of course, as was explained this morning, the psalm is the second in a series of psalms built upon the journey, or around the journey of the Israelites as they traveled to Jerusalem to attend the great assemblies of what was then the Church of God in the world. The first psalm was, of course, 120, which, as we explained, expressed the saints' pain and near despair among living among the wicked. And for God's people, it numbs the spirit to be always surrounded by the offensive presence and sometimes cruelty of those who hate God, who despise righteousness and persecute the innocent. And so for them in those days and under those circumstances, the scene is bleak. Life is a dismal swamp. Darkness and depression close in. And the pious say, I've dwelt too long in this place. But how can I escape? Is there escape? And caught in the misery of such a place, what does the saint do? Well, according to the opening of Psalm 120, in my distress I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. I cried, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and deceitful tongue. And He delivered me. And how did the Lord deliver his distressed saint? Psalm 121 reveals God's answer to the saint's desperate prayer. And the Holy Spirit turns the saint's attention away from the filth and insecurity of the wicked world and moves him to lift his head to look to another place. And then the saint responds, "I will lift my eyes to the hills." Enough of preoccupation with this fetid, sinking bog. I will lift and look to the hills and to the mountains. I will go. And so we are forced to ask, why look to the mountains? Why was that God's answer to his distressed saint's prayer? And why was this the thing to do? And we answer the question correctly when we show what the mountains represented to the Israelites. But before we do that, we need to emphasize that the mountains to which he looked for relief were not mountains in general, but particular mountains. The saint was led to lift up his eyes to the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. Mount Zion was in those mountains, or on those mountains. And the temple was in Jerusalem. And the temple was the chosen place of Israel's God, of Israel's great king. And when the Israelites, years after this psalm was written, or maybe not, maybe this was written in the midst of the Babylonian captivity, when the Israelites were captives in Babylon, far from Jerusalem, and the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem, it became their custom, when they prayed, to turn their faces towards Jerusalem and offer up to God their prayers. For instance, Daniel had a room with windows which opened and faced towards the mountains of Jerusalem. And before those windows, Daniel prayed three times a day. But why did Daniel pray towards Jerusalem? Was it mere superstition? Why did he look towards the mountains of Judah? Did he believe that Jerusalem and its mountains could save him from the fiery furnace or the lion's den? Did he believe that? Well, of course not. He prayed to Jehovah his God, who is able to save. But Jerusalem and the temple and the mountains symbolize for the Old Testament saint, the Old Testament believer, they symbolize the presence of God on the earth, the imminence of God. God was not someone who was far, far away in some remote heavens, but he was near on the earth to hear the prayers of his people. God chose to place his throne in the midst of his people, in the city of David, his servant. And so we read in another psalm, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. There has he desired to dwell. 'Tis my rest forever. Here I'll stay. I love it well." And even today, when much has changed, Jerusalem, Zion, city of David, and temple are places and names which turn our mind towards God. Now, no spiritual Israelite ever thought that God was a local God or a God of the mountains. one limited to the hills of Judah. He did not think that. He knew that God is the maker of heaven and earth, that the earth is the Lord's and the world is His footstool. That He is everywhere, and every place God's people offer up their prayers and He hears. You know, in the New Testament, after the completion of God's saving work in Jesus Christ, after the full revelation of the plan of redemption was complete, we are told explicitly and repeatedly that God's temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, is the church, the people of God, the living temple of God. But this is not really a new revelation. Rather, it is a further application of the truth which was required by the extension of the church to all the nations. Once the gathering of the Israelites before the temple revealed in a shadowy way that God dwells in the midst of His people. So long as God's people, visible people on earth, His chosen people on earth, were a small people in a limited territory, they could appear in one place and be before the presence of God as an assembled host. But of course, after the church became Catholic, scattered around the world, that was no longer possible. And so it was emphasized that wherever the people of God are, their God is in their midst. And when they assemble together, they are in the presence before the throne of God. God is near. God is accessible to His people. He is able to receive their thanks and hear their prayers. And this was always understood. This is the truth remembered and acted upon when Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem, where pious men and women gathered in the hills of Judah to call upon God. And all this is clearly understood in Psalm 21. And when the question is asked, from whence will my aid come? The answer is not that it will come from the mountains. Yes, we lift up our eyes to the mountains because that reminds us of the dwelling place of God, which He has declared to be His dwelling place on the earth for a time. Yes, the mountains suggest strength and safety. Jerusalem was a fortress city. A city which in the days of Moses, the 10 spies came back and said, you can't take it, it's too impregnable. But of course it was taken in the days of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Because the people of God had forgotten who their true fortress was, Almighty God. The mountains cannot save, but God who gave Jerusalem to His people and called upon them to assemble there, He is able to save. The help of God's people comes from God, from Jehovah, from the Maker of heaven and earth, from the Savior who died and rose again, who conquered death, whose Spirit dwells with His people. He can help. No king is saved by gathered hosts. No great strength which the mighty boast his safety can provide. On those who worship Him in fear and trust His loving kindness here, the Lord has set His eye. Even when far away, when the great assemblies had been dispersed, when there was no place to go, Daniel remembered what the holy city in the mountains had told him about God. That God is here to hear our prayers, that He is in the midst of His people. And so he lifted up his prayer to the one who is always present with his people. And Daniel, along with many others, remembered the journeys to Jerusalem, journeys to join the assembly of God's people, Israel. And on the way, God was with them. This psalm says that, doesn't it? So God was not exclusively in Jerusalem. The psalmist never thought that when he said, "Lift up my eyes to the mountains." On the way, God was with them. He would keep them safe. He does not sleep. He's ever on guard. He keeps them coming and He keeps them going. And they were not going somewhere in order to be with God. They were going with God to join the people of God. The assembly of God's people before the Lord in worship has been ordained by God. He has ordained it as a great blessing to His people. Dealing with the cares of the world, often surrounded by the wicked, sometimes persecuted by the enemies of God, they become downcast, they become needy, they lose the joy of their salvation, and their confidence in God weakens. And the assembly of the saints, it's God's cure for that. We strengthen, we encourage one another. This explains that earnest exhortation found in Hebrews 10. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And of course, today we cannot all gather all the saints in one place. It wasn't even possible in the days of Israel. But the assembling of the saints, even though it be in multitudinous congregations, the assembly of the saints is a blessing which we neglect to our loss and to our harm. I was glad to hear them say to the Lord's house, "Let us go. For our feet will soon be standing in your gates, Jerusalem." And for us, this room become the gates of Jerusalem for our generation. Neglect the gathering of the saints, and you neglect not only your own welfare, but the welfare of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Neglect the gathering of the saints, and you injure the cause of Christ in the world. Now, in addition to the practical and mutual encouragement we receive by assembling with the saints, in what we might call the short run, Psalm 121 teaches us to turn away from our obsessive concern with the world which is passing away and lift our eyes to the greatness of the assembly of the saints to which we're all traveling day by day. Beyond a weekly trip to the local assembly Let us consider the assembly mentioned in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. This is the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Every day, every minute, the saints are on pilgrimage to this assembly until at the end of this life in this world we arrive. And on this journey, God is caring for us every step of the way. And George Adam Smith, a respected commentator of the last century, advised that this psalm teaches us to lift our vision from the small and trivial to what is great and powerful. And the mountains, of course, symbolize for us what is strong and magnificent and enduring, and nothing more enduring than the eternal God. We find an echo of this spirit in the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul, who had a hard and painful pilgrimage in this world, but he testified, "But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as but rubbish, that I may gain Christ." That's the pilgrimage. It's a long, hard trip to Jerusalem above. It's not an easy road, just as the road to Jerusalem was not an easy road for the pilgrims of old. There are cliffside paths with chasms below to be negotiated. There are dangers by night and day. The dangers of the daylight in the sun and the dangers of the night when the moon shines. There is thirst and hunger and fatigue to be overcome, but the arrival is glorious, and God is with us every step of the way. I will lift mine eyes to the hills. From whence will come my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.